Hey everyone out there in the CBC universe, welcome to another episode of Comic Book Characters.
Wait, bread makes you fat?
I'm your friendly neighborhood podcaster, Alfred.
And I'm Chris, the downward spiral Cassidus.
Comic stuff! Oh yeah, man. Every time we think we got away, we get sucked back in. Because more comic news hits the pipeline. These movies, for now at least, are still coming out at a somewhat relative interval. And we are back to talk all things comic book movies. Keep you guys up to date on all the casting rumors.
Wait, did you say talking... What? Talking what?
Talking comic book movies?
Talking turkey?
Talking turkey. Gobble, gobble. Happy Thanksgiving. To any listeners what's the word I'm looking for? Celebrate, that partake in the holiday?
Yeah.
Happy Tofurkey Day to those who imbibe? Who vibe?
those of you who toke on the tofu.
Tofu toke, man. You know what? All right. This one's free. This is the only time this is ever going to be free. Everything else is TM, as you all know, the way the show rolls. But toke and tofurkey, like a people getting high but being like vegetarian. Yeah. And like talking about their favorite vegetarian recipes, but they're high.
What is this, a podcast idea?
It's a podcast. It could be on the Food Network, you know.
I think Vice already has like five programs like that.
There you go. Yeah, man, but like regular America doesn't know about Vice, so we could still throw that on like Food Channel or whatever.
Fair enough.
But yeah, man, are you... So, I mean, obviously, we've covered this previously. For those new listeners may not know, Chris, you work in education, so therefore, you've had this week off, I believe. Is that correct?
What's the opposite of the cash register drop? Yes, I do work in education.
It's like the sound of a fly coming out of an empty pocket. I mean, I don't think we have that sound drop, but that's...
Oh, here it is.
There you go.
I do have the week off, so... Yeah, it's good times.
That's when you can truly let your mind unfurl, which is, you know, is it a good thing? Well, it's a thing, right? Anyway, man, I did want to thank all the listeners for tuning in. You know, some of y'all have maybe been wondering, like, hey, where have you guys been? Just busy. Like, that's... That's really it. There's been a lot of calamity over here. And
dude, you could have... We were standing alongside our SAG-AFTRA brothers and sisters.
There we go.
None of that?
I mean, we kind of were, though. We weren't promoting anything, so... Look, we did say in the last episode that we did stand with the SAG people and the AFTRA people, the writers and the actors striking. By the way... this is not on the Slack or anything, but check out Melissa Medina. That's a friend of mine on, what's it called now? X, you know, Twitter, whatever.
Don't do that.
They're probably on threads. Anyway, you know what I mean? On Twitter. Melissa has done a whole series of how the AI is supposed to work within, like film and TV production and how, potentially, although it's good that the strikes are over, that maybe the actors and writers didn't get exactly as much as they think they are. And it's kind of scary, but it's definitely something people should watch and get informed with, because Melissa really talks at length about certain things that we understand that the way it's going to work with, like, you know, deep faking and all that stuff. And it's this whole other thing. Like, it is this whole other thing. And, you know, I don't want to speak to it too much because I'm really not an expert on it. But yeah, check it out. Melissa Medina on Twitter and probably Instagram.
Oh, Medina. Okay. I thought you're like on some Clarissa Explains It All type stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay.
another Melissa.
Yeah. You know, and I'm just thinking Melissa Etheridge, and that's not right. What is it, Clarissa? Wait, were you saying, because Clarissa and Melissa sound the same?
No, Melissa Joan Hart.
Melissa Joan Hart, that's her name.
Like Clarissa. And
right.
Just explains.
There yeah. you go. See, I thank you. I knew you were going to get us there, because.
Hey, man, you are the brain of the world, buddy.
Surprise. Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier. It's like, you know, sometimes is it a good thing, is it a bad thing, or is it just a thing? And I'm leaning towards the latter there. All right, man. Well, while my brain is just collapsing on itself.
Singularity of thought.
Yeah. How are you, man? What's good?
Good. Let me see. Where's that drop? That's good.
What?
Man, I played some vinyls for the first time in like a month.
Oh my god, dude! Wait a minute! You're about to get us canceled off of hashtag indie hashtag vinyl Twitter because you said vinyls. Vinyl is like, it's like, it's a plural of itself. You don't have to throw an S. I mean, you can. God.
My nerd cred is slowly depleting. Really? Are you going to pull that on me?
I'm just trying to save us. I'm trying to save the show. I'm just trying to get in front of it, man. People will, you know, it's the internet. People get upset about things. It's weird.
I give a goddamn. I mean, fucking find me in the parking lot.
There you go.
North Park Mall, third floor, night.
Midnight.
Like, you know, you already know the deal.
Is it Friday or Saturday? Let them know.
I'm there whenever, baby.
Okay. Wow.
No, so let's play some vinyls.
Okay. Stick with it. It's fine. Just own it.
LPs? Can I call them LPs?
Yeah, you can do that. You can do whatever you want, man. I'm just. I am a little scared.
Throw down some wax.
Yeah. Throw down some wax. What did you spin recently? You said you hadn't played anything in a while. What's going on? Yeah,
no, I played a Santana album that I bought just because the cover looked cool. It was really it was funky as hell. I got Young Americans by David Bowie and played that. And nice. I had not listened to that second track on that one, Win. And it sounds so much. Beck took like 90% of that song to like influence Deborah. It was just having my mind blown, and that was it was just like connecting the dots. Influence wise, and so I had a fun time geeking out over that.
That's really cool. And I mean, you know, the thing about Beck is that like he would own up to it, I think. Like he probably already, but yeah. If you did ask him, he would 1000% own up to that, and that makes perfect sense too. Okay, well, hey, for the local listeners here in San Antonio, since you brought up David Bowie, they are going to be doing like a David Bowie like spotlight show here in San Antonio, and I think it's either in December or January. Let me see here. I'm gonna pull.
Is it on my birthday, which is to say his birthday as well?
Oh, let's see here. I know your birthday is in January.
Yeah.
And it's like it's somewhere like between the 10th and like the 13th, right? So
before.
It's before. Is it the 9th?
No.
The 8th.
The 8th,
that's okay. I was close.
It's me, Bowie, Elvis, Stephen Hawking, no big deal.
Okay, wow. One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, Stephen doesn't play an instrument.
There's a David Bowie tribute event at Paper Tiger on January 13th.
Ooh.
Which is a Saturday. So just after his birthday.
Wrong day.
Okay, but still. So that's a thing, you know, for if people want to... In San Antonio, want to check that out. I've actually been to this event before a few years ago. It was really, really good time. Good times.
Nice.
Okay, so let's see. Well, I'm glad you're getting some use out of the... You got those edifiers, right? Or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Those GameStop of all places.
Okay, so this is supposed to be a comic book podcast, and I'm sure everyone's tuned out already, but I'm going to continue the vinyl talk. I actually just got a new needle, a diamond tip needle for my record player. And it's supposed to make everything sound better. The fidelity is supposed to be better. I honestly can't really hear a difference, but it doesn't sound worse, so I'll take it.
That's because it really only works at like the 120 grams.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's probably some nonsense. But I did get in the Across the Spider-Verse soundtrack. And I have been bumping that. That's really fun. Also, and we'll get to this in just a second, actually. Hey, you know what? Let's just transition right into it because...
Yeah?
So... It's kind of funny. Netflix did this really interesting thing where, you know what, actually really quickly before we get into our first segment here, let me break down what we're going to talk about vaguely, but so that people can kind of have an idea. We're going to talk about
rundown.
Yeah. We're going to do a rundown. We're supposed to do this every episode, but I always forget. So, we're going to talk about Scott Pilgrim, which is on Netflix. We're going to talk about some news regarding Dave Filoni and Star Wars, the feature of Star Wars. We're going to do our Marvels review. It's a big part of this episode. We're going to have really just a tremendous casting corner. I've been so happy with all the casting corner news that we've had this year. That's really been nice to have. We're going to talk a little bit about Vanity Fair's recent article on Marvel Cinematic Universe, Marvel Studios. We're going to cover Loki 2. We're going to talk about Deadpool 3. We're going to look at the What If 2 trailer and the Madam Web trailer. And then, of course, we're going to close out the show with our big wheel winner of the episode. So... with all of that being said, let's jump into it. I was just talking about the Spider-Verse soundtrack, right? And so one thing that I've really, we're not going to spoil the show. I don't think everyone's had a chance to see the whole thing. I know I haven't seen the whole thing yet, but I will say just in kind of general terms, the music is amazing.
Oh yeah.
The music for Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, the animated show on Netflix, is really good. Jesus, I should not give you like live access to the Slack.
What are you talking about?
You're just golly.
If you had a Patreon, you'd be like cracking up right now.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, we could. We could just give like a live feed of the document as you cause chaos throughout it. No, but what I thought was really funny about the Scott Pilgrim Takes Off on Netflix, I don't know if you noticed this, but for like the week leading up to it, as soon as you turned on Netflix, it would come on the screen and it had like a countdown timer. And it was like 6 days, 12 hours, 13 minutes, 10 seconds until Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. And I was like, okay, I mean, that's aggressive, but all right. I mean... I don't know. Did you see that? Did you ever see that?
I missed that. I did like log into Netflix to check out that one Fall of the House of Usher.
Oh yeah,
it's just because it was like infused with Poe.
Mm-hmm.
The
90s indie girl rock band or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't think of any Poe songs at all. Otherwise, I would try to reference a lyric or something. But oh yeah, Johnny, right?
Is that one?
Turn on the radio. Johnny Dalt said.
Is that another one?
I don't know. I think you're thinking of Kitty. I get Poe and Kitty. Look, honestly, here's me losing all my music cred. I get Poe and Kitty mixed up. And then also occasionally Hole kind of gets mixed up in with all of that. Mm. I don't know. But I think they had a song called Hello or something about Johnny. Anyway, man, this show's already going so off the tracks. Scott Pilgrim. What can I say about it without spoiling things?
You have to say it like Matthew Patel does. Scott Pilgrim!
Scott Pilgrim! I am Matthew Patel, Ramona's first evil ex. Anyway, it's, I want to be vague because I don't want to spoil anything. Really good stuff. Really good. They got the original cast, I mean, which includes some pretty big names by today's standards, like Chris Evans.
Yeah, we've always kind of like, at least, I don't know if we put it on like the pod, but like we've always talked about like, you know, this movie cannot be made again because these stars couldn't command too much salary now.
Yeah, but they found the loophole, right? The animation loophole. You got Brie Larson, I mean, literally from the Marvels.
Metric as well. They show
Metric,
up.
Metric, Aubrey Plaza, fucking Anna Kendrick. Like, just everybody. You know what's so funny, though? Like, again, let's speak in generalities, but who has been your favorite performance so far? Now, you're a few episodes ahead of me, so.
Yeah.
But for you, like, which of the. Because I've got one already that kind of stands out in everything that this character does or anytime they're in it. I'm just like, oh, this is good stuff.
Right. I mean, I love a running gag. So it, for me, it's got to be Young Neil.
Okay.
He's just in it, like, just bumbling, kind of doofing his way around the story.
Right. And he's just constantly involved and like, in, he's like a player without being a player. Like,
yeah, you can totally, I mean, you can hear like the acting happening in the ADR booth. like his vacant kind of responses to things.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's always a good time.
Kieran Culkin as Wallace Wells.
Oh yeah.
Just every scene he's in is just like, how is Kieran Culkin not in more stuff? Cause like,
right. Oh, he wasn't. It wasn't what's a Succession, right?
Yeah, right. I think so. I haven't seen that. I need to see that. I know everybody was like on and on about that. I need to check that one out. I would love to see more Kieran Culkin. I think he's got sort of an effortless charm to him that I you just don't really see in film as much these days. But yeah, man, Again, for anyone on the fence about this, like, if you liked the movie, you should absolutely be watching this. But if you saw the movie and you were, like, on the fence or weren't sure how you felt about it or you didn't really like it, and you're like, well, I don't want to just see an animated retelling of this story or with the same actors, you might want to give it a shot.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I was in that camp for like I kind of started two screening it as I was watching the first episode. Like, oh, this is kind of cool. They're just gonna do like a manga style adaptation to the story. Oh, okay, I can play some games. I'm kind of like just checking it. Like, there's a swerve. There's a big swerve that happens in the first episode. All right, I gotta put the phone down. I'm hooked now.
Yeah. No. I mean, I again don't want to spoil anything, but Liv and I were like, what? okay. Oh, okay. Okay. So yeah, it's really nice to see, and I kind of get the feel, and I honestly don't really know. I haven't seen any like press on it or anything, I guess because of the strikes. There really just wasn't anything out there, but it really feels like everyone involved just liked doing this stuff together.
Oh yeah.
And that's why they agreed to do it, because otherwise I don't even see how you would do this. Or could do this.
Yeah. The shout out to the, let's talk to all the six anime watchers out there, but the animation for this series is done by Science Saru. It's Yuasa's company. Yuasa, like legendary name, really kind of like known for kind of hyper stylized and fluid kind of animation techniques.
Right.
But yeah, Inuo was this like a, famous, like it should have won all the Oscars, but it didn't. His movie a couple years ago. What is this? Devilman, Crybaby.
Right. Yeah, Devilman. What was that other one? I'm sorry, you said Inua.
Oh yeah, Inuo. Like Dog King is what it translates to. Oh,
okay.
But, yeah, it's set in like it's like a glam rock kind of like a kabuki type of thing. It's fucking an amazing movie.
Amazing. Like just that alone. I need that one flew under the radar for me, but I need to check that out. That sounds great. Yeah, but so again, everyone involved in this, like, because it's not Edgar Wright directing the show, but I think he did serve as an executive producer. And then you've got the whole cast involved. You've got, how do you say their name? I'm going to get it wrong. It's like Amagachi.
Oh, you're talking about like the song
for the music, yeah.
I can look it up.
It's got a lot of syllables in it, and I do apologize, But it's really good. Like, they did the music for the video game that came out not that long ago. I mean, I guess it came out a while ago, but was recently re-released. It starts with A M. It's like A M U G A U C H something. I'm just throwing letters out there now. Give me a vowel, please. Can you get an E?
Theme song music. Oh, yeah. Let me see. Where is it? I almost
thought. Here. Scott Pilgrim music.
Anamanaguchi.
Anamanaguchi.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? Told you it was a lot of syllables. But anyway, the music is really good. The music that they select for the episodes is really fun. There's a scene with Lucas Lee. Won't spoil much, but... if you're a fan of Tony Hawk Pro Skater,
you might
enjoy.
I mean, if you're a fan of fucking 90s, like MTV weird fucking shows, then you might enjoy it too. That's where it's from.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that too. So, I think, again, without spoiling too much, two thumbs up. If you are, again, a fan of any of this stuff at all, check it out. Seems like a lot of love went into this one, and they're doing something really fun with that story. And yeah. You know, I'm only a few episodes in, but I have so many responsibilities this week. We're actually hosting Thanksgiving for multiple families here.
Who knows?
So yeah, I know, right? Like, what am I, an adult or something? But so many responsibilities, and it's just like all I want to do is sit and watch this whole thing. And it's hard to stop watching once you get through an episode.
Whenever you have to make like the inevitable daily run to HEB because you've forgotten something, do you hear this in your head?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, I hate going to the grocery store under the best of times, which is like Sunday during a Cowboys game, you know, when there's no one there, and I still don't like it. So, yeah.
Good times.
That is the sound I hear. The sound of fear creeping over my heart is what that is. All right, let's move on. In a move which surprises probably absolutely no one, Dave Filoni, who, for those that might not know, a guy who did Clone Wars, he did Bad Batch, he did Rebels, he did Mandalorian, and...
I don't think he can stop wearing that hat he has.
He has that hat that he likes to wear. You know, he has been named the C... Well, you've changed it now, I see.
What?
But it is... He was the chief creative officer, the CCO, for Lucasfilm. And he's been dubbed, quote-unquote, he's going to be handling the planning for the future of Star Wars. Which, if you've looked at Ahsoka and how it sets things up, this guy is a master at doing that comic book manga thing where you're telling a story but you're leaving little bits of pieces of other stories that you'll come back to in like future, you know, in comics it would be future issues, or in TV it's future episodes, but he's really good at it. So as you're finishing up one narrative thread, there's already like two other narrative threads that are you're already in the process of going through as well. Does that make sense? Yep. Sometimes I worry it gets a little too technical here on the pod, but I'm hoping everybody follows along with that. I guess another way is just like, it's just serial narrative, right? Like he's telling these stories that branch out and then like come back together to pretty good effect, I think. A lot of people had problems with the sequel seasons of Mandalorian, but from what I understand, that was a lot of pressure from Kathleen Kennedy and others to involve like Grogu more and stuff, whereas he was like, I'm kind of done with Grogu, and like that's not where this story is going. But
he went up with Luke for a little bit, right? And we thought everybody was like, oh wow, they're really just gonna focus on Mandalore next season, and
then they made him come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, once you know that information and you look at that, like, with that context, it's like, oh, okay. And it's, like, really obvious. but looks like moving forward, like, it's gonna kind of be his show to run. And sort of the byproduct of this that I think is really interesting is that, you know, Jon Favreau, who helped, you know, who with Dave Filoni was the one, they were the two that got The Mandalorian off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are really hoping that Jon Favreau will rejoin with Kevin Feige, you know, circa 2008, you know, Iron Man, and maybe bring some of that magic juice to the MCU, because it's might be something that we need at this point. And we'll definitely touch on that a little bit later. But I don't know, man, because Jon Favreau is a huge Star Wars fan. I think he likes what he did with Iron Man. And I don't think it's going on a limb to say that Jon Favreau is probably a Marvel fan or a comic book fan in general. I think he is. But I think his like heart lies with Star Wars. And I don't know that he's necessarily going to move on, but what do you think? Would you want Jon Favreau to go back over with Kevin, or do you think he should stick with Dave Filoni and Lucasfilm?
That's a good question. Like, I think Fab's kind of brought like, it all depends on like if they're willing to give the creatives kind of like more control over the stories that are presented in Marvel.
Right.
Like, man, cause like Iron Man was such a moment, such like, they were basically an indie film company back then.
Right.
And they could like take chances and like, they could like, oh, but he would do things like, you know, watch people, how they, you know, talked, like I'm thinking Gwyneth Paltrow in particular, and like, just like, oh, okay. So I'll write to how she actually just speaks, and I'll just rewrite some dialogue lines for her.
Right. They were constantly changing the script. Yeah. The script was just like a skeleton. Like it was just an outline, really.
Yeah. If they go back to that kind of loosey-goosey way of filmmaking, which really focuses in on, like, just character interactions. I think then, yeah, for sure. But I don't think the mouse is going to let those reins go anytime soon.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I know a lot of people, and we've talked about this before, but you know, we've had other listeners chime in with, like, you guys need to do, like, a retrospective on the MCU, or, like, where it's been, where it is, and where it's going, and and we've tried to touch on that in some capacity over the last several episodes, but you know, I don't know, we might have to like sit down at some point and just like figure out a whole thing.
That'd be cool to get like a symposium kind of going, like, yeah, be a couple of guests who've been on before, and
with their takes and ideas. Yeah. Absolutely. I think you're onto something there, because you're absolutely right.
Like phone in and shit. That'd be kind
of, oh, that would be really cool. Okay. I mean, if we can do that, that would be amazing.
It's like a Google voicemail box. Like they can,
oh yeah. Okay. Hey man, I'm down. Like if you want, hey, I'm down to try that.
Watch this space, True Believers.
But you bring up a really good point in that the birth of the MCU came from a space that is literally a 180 turn from where they are now and what they are now. And with, you know, like the mouse in the house and just needing to make $1 billion on every film and all this other bullshit. Like, it's just so different from where it started. You know, we're going to talk about their 33rd film today. 33rd, dude. It's wild stuff. But anyway, very excited, very happy for Dave Filoni. I think he's only going to bring, you know, prestige, and I imagine he's going to bring a lot of great ideas to the table. Hopefully they give him the space to cook. You know, he also, I think, had a hand in Andor. And Andor is the best. I'm standing on this hill. I will die on this hill. I mean, until maybe something in the future changes this. But for now, it is the truth. Andor is the greatest Star Wars anything.
Holy shit.
It's so good. It's such good narrative storytelling. It's so good. Everyone should go watch Andor. What are your thoughts on Dave Filoni, though, being named the chief creative officer at Lucasfilm?
Yeah, like you said, kind of not surprising. I do feel kind of like I do have some nerd homework to catch up on because I've not seen any of Rebels.
I've only seen a handful of Clone Wars episodes. I've seen none of Rebels. Yeah, I know. I need to.
Since there's something, right? Just, yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. I've talked to other, nerd types that have seen all that stuff, and they saw Ahsoka, and they were like, oh, man, it really adds layers to Ahsoka, and it's, and I like Ahsoka already. Like, I already like that show, but...
Man, whatever. I don't want to hear that noise. I want to watch Ahsoka right now, where I don't know anything going on. I can figure it out.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
I enjoy being confused. And feeling left out. Let me go experience high school again.
The creeping fear, the anxiety. Is that person waving at me? Yes. Oh, no, they're not. I'm already waving back at them. All right. Well, okay. I don't really have a good segue for this, but it is time to talk about...
It's your segue speaking about, awkward teenage years.
Oh, okay. There you go. Speaking of transitions, we're going to talk about the Marvels. So just want to preface this right up at the front. We will spoil plot points for this movie. We're not going to spoil everything. We don't necessarily go over all of the plot in great detail. We're sort of talking more about things that we liked and didn't like in various types of segments. But that being said, if you have not seen the film, this might be the time to pause and then come back to the podcast after you've seen it. Let's see here. So before we get started with our segments, I'm going to start with what is one of my favorite things.
Oh, that's right.
I love to do this every time.
Yep.
Because I always feel like you're going to get it and then you never do. So
just keep pulling that football away from me, huh?
Yeah, man, you're really Charlie Brown in this one, but I think, I don't know, I feel good about this one. I think you've gotten kind of close a couple of times, so I think you can get this one. All right, man, we are 11 days into its release of the Marvels. Okay, now keep in mind, Captain Marvel, I think, hit almost a billion.
Oh, it definitely did, yeah.
Yeah, or maybe over a billion. It was quite a bit. Like, in fact, here, let me see here. Let me just... I'm going to look this up real quick.
That got released, showing, the budget of every Marvel film and then, the box office that it earned and, the opening weekend as well.
Yeah, yeah. 1.1 billion for Captain Marvel in 2019, so 4 years ago. But also, might I add... 4 years ago, which means what?
Before pandemic?
Before COVID, right? Prior to COVID. PTC. Prior to COVID. This is a very important distinction moving forward that I think plays a large role in everything, okay? Not just Marvel films. Everything, right? PTC, prior to COVID. $1.1 billion. Okay, we're 11 days in.
Yeah.
Give me the worldwide gross.
Oh, no, worldwide?
See, it's where I get you every time. You think you like, I got it, and then I'm like, worldwide, and you're like, fuck. So, 11 days, worldwide gross, first one made, $1.1 billion.
Yeah, all right. Famously, it's his lowest, I know, it's lowest opening of any Marvel movie,
mm-hmm.
kind of undeserved, but that's what it is. Worldwide, I'm going to go at, right now it's at half of its budget, it's at 100 million.
All right, pretty close. 162.
Okay.
162, however, domestic, 11 days in, keep in mind. That's two weekends. Now, we still have Thanksgiving.
Oh, this is going to hurt.
But domestic is at $66 million.
Fucking hell.
Projections right now are saying it's iffy that it's going to break $100 million domestic.
Oh, that does, I don't think so, right? It's already 2 weeks in.
It's 2 weeks in. We have the holiday.
Yeah?
So maybe. Word of mouth is pretty good on this one.
Yeah, yeah.
The stupid Rotten Tomatoes score, for the critics at least, notwithstanding, the public score and then just general word of mouth, other than the loud, super vocal minority of a certain type of person that is shitting on this film without having seen it. It's had pretty positive buzz. But let's, you know what, before we start getting into our segments, let's kind of dissect a little about what is happening here, right? Because $66 million for a Marvel film at 11 days is, we've never seen it. Never. Yeah. Not The Incredible Hulk, not Thor 2, not Eternals, like, nothing.
Man, it's, even Eternals, yeah.
And like you said, you kind of hinted at it. I don't want to tip my hand too much, but undeserved. Like, this movie should be doing better than The Flash. It should be doing better than Blue Beetle. It should be doing better than a lot of things, and it's not. Now, part of the reason, I think, is Paramount. Like, it's this, not just this, but this is definitely, to me, the biggest piece of this pie of why is this movie, you know, if the first one made 1.1 billion, why are we at like 10% of that? What is happening? And I think it's this. I saw a very well-traveled, well-engaged Marvel community Facebook page, right, that has I believe hundreds of thousands of users to that group and to that page. And they posted a poll that said, if you have not seen The Marvels, why have you not seen it? And the options were, I have no interest, I'm waiting for it to come on Disney Plus, I do plan on seeing it over the holiday, but I haven't seen it yet, or I think the last one was just like, I hope to see it, but I don't have time right now. Something like that. Uh-huh. Overwhelmingly, 67% of the vote, and there were thousands upon thousands of votes on this poll. Do you want to take a guess which option was number one with 67%?
Oh, man, they're waiting for the plus.
Waiting for the plus.
Jeez.
Waiting for Disney Plus. So, okay. I know everyone's wanting to hear our takes on the actual film, and I do promise we will absolutely get to those in just a second. But that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And what COVID, especially COVID, taught everybody, and it's, look, it's Disney's fault, it's Warner Brothers' fault, it's everybody's fault. But what it taught everyone is, hey, look, you don't gotta pay $20 a movie ticket plus exorbitant prices for drink and popcorn and food and try to get your kids settled and into a film and drive 30 minutes and all this and that. In 30 to 45 days, you can watch it right at home in your HD OLED screen with surround sound and Dolby Atmos, and, you know, have bathroom breaks whenever you want, and you can order pizza and wings and what have you. And that's great. Look, man, I love film, and I have almost like a home theater here. You've seen it. Like, yeah. I love being able to, like, watch a film in, like, a really nice environment, you know. But even just watching it on, like, your computer monitor or whatever, cool. But people are conditioned at this point versus spending $100 for a small family to go see The Marvels when they know if they just wait a month, they're going to see it at home.
Yeah.
That's...
Like,
I was talking to Lib about this the other day, and to me... And it's not just this. Look at Hunger Games. New Hunger Games just came out. Well below projections.
Really?
Well below projections, and by far the lowest grossing film in that franchise. Trolls, a huge hit. First two Trolls films. Third Trolls films comes out. Well below projections.
Ooh.
What does that tell you? What does it tell me? It's telling me Hollywood and everybody involved that's making these projections, you guys got to step back. You got to realize we're in the age of streaming now, and because of what when COVID happened and everyone was stuck at home, they learned a new way to consume media, and it's a way that people prefer. Well, I'm a big movie theater person. I will always be. I will always champion, you know, our local cinema. But I'm not blind to the fact that Joe and Jane Smith, Joe and Jane Public out there with, you know, three kids and what have you, they're picking Disney Plus and, you know, Max or whatever and Netflix every time.
Yeah.
Versus going to the theater.
You're definitely right. Like, just getting all the kids together and like having them settled in. Yeah. It's a lot easier doing that at home.
I can see why. And look, I'm not even saying they're wrong, like, because that's the majority of people.
Right.
That's the majority of people that used to go to theaters and they're not now. And that's okay. People are allowed to do whatever they want to do. I'm not here to say like y'all are assholes for not supporting your cinema and what.
No.
Things change, okay? That happens. I used to be a journalist. I remember being in journalism school and I had some professors tell me like, it's cool that you're doing this and, you know, you have a real talent for this, but just so you know, newspapers might not exist in 20 years and they're not entirely wrong. Like, things change. Like, that's just
what I make the dark joke at work. Like, hey, who knows whether I'm going to get to enjoy this teacher retirement. I don't know. This profession is going to be around in 10 years.
Right. In Texas. Definitely a question mark.
Yeah.
It's not an absolute. You can't just absolutely say, yes, I'm going to retire as a Texas teacher. Like, no, maybe. Maybe.
It's also the plus's fault because.
Oh, like, absolutely.
We're so conditioned to like just like waiting for Loki. Loki was the huge draw, right? I'm sure everybody watched Loki on the plus.
And we're going to be talking about that in a minute, too. But yeah.
And it's just that there's so much content available that's coming out at a pretty like consistent pace to be like, oh, I thought that was going to be on the plus anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is still an effect of the pandemic that we've changed like our method of consumption. It was just because we had to. And I think the only movie that did all right was Five Nights at Freddy's of the past month.
Five Nights at Freddy's, Barbie, and Oppenheimer. That's it. That's it. Gran Turismo, nope. Indiana Jones, nope.
Sure, I forgot what's coming out. Yeah.
Like really big Fast and the Furious? Fast and the Furious, which was bulletproof billion-dollar franchise. Severely underperformed.
Yeah.
So much so that they fast-tracked it to Max. Like, so that's the thing. That's the thing at the end of the day. And, man, I know everyone's like, God, would you guys please just get to the fucking movie? We are going to talk about it. But I want to try to quickly, you know, somewhat quickly examine, like, where are we right now? Because with these studios they're trying to do two things at the same time and it cannot work. You can't try to prop up the streaming services and the subscriber numbers and goose those numbers and try to make that look better than it is, because that's the future of where everything is going. And it is where everything is going. Like, digital and streaming, that's the future. I love physical media just as much as anyone I know, but I'm here to tell you the future of media is digital and streaming. So if you're doing that, you kind of have like one foot in the theater chain and the cinema chain, like traditional Hollywood making films. And then they have one foot in the streaming and they don't mix well. Yeah. They really don't. And, you know, I was talking to Lib the other day, and look, here's the solution. No one's going to do this, but this is the answer. Whenever you have a film, like a Disney film, so Marvel, let's say the Marvels, comes out, you let people know from day one, this isn't coming to streaming for 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
You definitively let them know, right? And I'm saying, now, it's not just a Disney thing. Warner Brothers, any Sony, everybody. You let them know, day one, this is not coming to our streaming platform for 8 months. People will go to the theater. They will. For movies that they have really any intention of seeing because they want to, they're going to go. But right now, you're giving them a 30-day window. You're saying, hey, in a month, you can just see this for free. It's too easy. You're making it too easy.
Right.
And so what, you know, and they're not going to do that. They're not going to do it. They're not going to, you know, they're trying to push those subscriber numbers. So if anything, I think it's going to go the other way. I think they're going to go like, oh, now this movie is going to be in theaters for 2 weeks and then it's streaming. Like, it's just going to get worse and worse. But the other thing is they need to reexamine. And I'm really hoping with this long break because of the strikes, and I know I'm going on a whole tangent here, and I promise we are about to start talking about the film like proper. But I hope that they've taken this time with the strikes. I know that they didn't, but God, I hope that they do. And that they did. Is that they reevaluate how everything works now with streaming, with people being more patient to just want to see things at home. And not only change projections, but change budgets. The budget on this film was like 200 plus million. I think like I heard as high as 275. 275, fuck you. Like, this movie should not have been more than $100 million. And if you can't make this movie for under $100 million, then don't make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're asking too much post-COVID for films to do. They can't do it anymore. It's not 2019 anymore. It's just not.
I mean, yeah, not everything's going to be Infinity War Endgame.
Were also pre-COVID.
Yeah.
You know, Oppenheimer and Barbie are really the only two, and I guess Super Mario Brothers, those are the only films that have, like, I guess the Top Gun Maverick and then Guardians 3. But, like, I mean, you can name all those movies on one hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the last 4 years. Like, that's not good. And it's like everyone wants to kind of just put their head in the sand about it. And it's like, no, all these things can't continue the way they're continuing.
There's another one, wasn't there?
Like a really big film that did well?
Yeah, I mean, like, it did so well that, like, it came back to theaters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Monthbius. We should do... I loved it with a bit. Maybe if we ever do a Patreon, we could do Monthbius, where we watch Morbius every single day for a month.
Why?
And we record 10-minute, like, segments every day of our thoughts on this journey through Morbius.
Monthbius. My God.
Monthbius. Yeah.
That would rival Toyotathon. And
yeah.
That would rival Rocktober.
Okay. Do you want to start talking about the film proper?
It's not to me, man.
I know this is on me. But I've had a lot of thoughts about this. Like, I've been thinking about it a lot. And it's just that I feel like the answer is the solutions. No one's going to do. They don't want to do them. So if that's the case, then we have to just they have to re-examine everything, and it has to change. But anyway, let's get on with our first segment, which of course is Excelsior.
Excelsior!
Oh man, what would Stan think about all this? I bet he would just be like, I'm Stan Lee, time to buy my 24 karat gold plated Spidey car.
Like, look at this snake.
There you go. That's really good. That's a good impression, man. That's very impressive. Anyway, Excelsior is a segment for those new to the podcast where we talk about things that we really enjoyed about the film. It can be actors, writing, narrative, pacing, cinematography, direction, music, whatever. Just whatever floats our boat about the film. Chris, you want to go first? What did you like about The Marvels?
This is like going first in the draft. Do I take your pick that I know that you have?
I mean, I'll just jump in and add more to it, but I'll have to pick something else. But yeah, go do whatever you want, man. It's like,
yeah, I've heard that this has been like it was kind of chopped up, but I think this kind of works in his favor. The pace of it, I think it's like one of the shortest Marvel movies.
Yeah, 1:45.
Yeah, which is kind of like it kind of moves. It goes at a nice clip. I always like watch at the draft house for these kind of things, and like they came with a check drop. Like I was like, whoa, really? Right now the check drop? We're like halfway through the movie. It's like, oh no, we're not halfway through the movie. This is already the third act.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Here's my car. Let me overpay for these fries.
Hey, don't forget that 18% included tip.
God damn! I need to stop going to the draft house.
Until they become a sponsor and cover everything for us, which would be great. I probably should try and talk to them. I mean, we anyway.
Hold me down. You theater 6, 16 and 15. That's why I am. Me and my brother, we've seen all these goddamn Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the pace worked really well for me. I thought like once it kind of did find its like heading, and after a little kind of a rough start, it actually kind of like I had a really good time. It was kind of like being in a roller coaster almost. So it was really fun. I liked how quickly it moved.
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. And I thank you for not taking the Victor Wembanyama of this segment, which is we'll get to in just a second. But like
I did the Charles Barkley thing. Oh, I'm a draft.
Allen Iverson. Jordan's on the board. He's taking Allen Iverson, man. What a all-time.
This is for the All-Star game? No, this is for all-time, Chuck. Oh.
Yeah, he was like, oh, like just immediately misunderstood. I mean, that's so on par. Like, so Chuck. Such a Charles Barkley thing to do. Anyway, but no, I think, you know, it's so funny, and it's, you know, you might say it's reductive. But I really think the best way to describe this film is fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's just a fun, lighthearted film that, like you said, it's like a little bit of a roller coaster, but not like a scary roller coaster. Not like the Iron Rattler. It's like, you know, it's like
Road Runner Express.
It's the Roadrunner Express, man. It's like it gets your heart going a little bit, but you're not going to have a heart attack.
Shout out to Fiesta Texas.
Shout out to Six Flags Fiesta Texas, man. Holiday in the Park coming up, Six Flags.
Oh, is this another free ad?
We're just going to keep doing it.
I was joking about doing the ad reads before.
just giving it away. Yeah, man, it's just a fun film. Okay, so for me, look, anybody who knows me, if you guys remember when we talked about the Ms. Marvel TV show, I am...
You totally like, nah, this is bad. I don't like this.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that's what you said.
You're sure. Like, yep. Sounds just like me too. I mean, it's just, I hate, you know, women and especially young women that are trying to make a name for themselves and be super talented and stuff. That really, really rubs me the wrong way. Amon Vellani as Kamala Khan. My goodness, there is not an amount of praise that I can give to just her disposition, her energy, her vibe. I'm not even talking about her acting. Just like, she really pops off the screen and she feels so genuine and authentic. So much so that it makes everyone else seem like they're acting by comparison, which is kind of weird because they all are acting, but she has just this little buzz of energy around her that seems so like she's just in the moment all the time. And I really, really enjoy it. Now that might change someday. Like maybe someday she won't be like that in every scene that she's in, but so far, every scene. Just what a joy. And so for me, as somebody who was such a big comic fan as a kid and a teenager, like so relatable the way she's geeking out constantly. You know. But there's also like real growth there, which I really liked. They didn't just make her a goofy, like, comedic sidekick. She learns and there's growth, right? There's sacrifice that has to be made, you know, and they show that. And it's tough. But she teaches, you know, Captain Marvel and Monica Rambeau, who's was a pro is it Proton?
They,
Photon.
Professor Marvel, they never really
Professor Marvel.
settle on one.
Yeah, in the comics she's God, is it Proton or Photon? I want to say it's Photon.
I'm pretty sure it's Photon. At least that's what the toys say at Walmart.
Okay, yeah, it's Photon. It's Photon. And I like that they even gave her the stupid goofy suit, and then she was like, "This is too much," and took it off. But yeah, Amon Vellani, so good. All the stuff with her family, although ridiculous and like not believable at all, was sort of reminiscent
What
of
part?
the Aunt May Spider-Verse scene.
Oh yeah,
In the first Spider-Verse movie, like I got a lot of that vibe. I'm like, this is just fun. It's just silly and fun. Anything else you want to add?
it seems like Amon Vellani really is just kind of made for this world, like this, like acting in the superhero movie. Because people kind of sometimes say, like, one of the parts of like why Captain Marvel doesn't come across or doesn't get over with the crowd, to borrow like a wrestling term, is that like Brie Larson seems kind of like stilted a little bit in her
Stilted, stiff, yeah.
performance. And she's an Oscar winner.
Stoic, stoic.
She knows how to portray a character. It's just like she doesn't have a read on this one, just because I don't know her like past with like comic properties and stuff. I mean, not that you need to have one, but I mean, it does give you an edge, and it seems like Amon Vellani has that in droves, right?
Yeah, and she's just adding it because she literally writes a comic book
I was
now.
about to say, yeah,
She writes the Miss Marvel comic. It's like,
like. She was involved in like the press like immediately after the strike got resolved. Like she was out there you know, talking to the press, trying to, and it's just she's just so like genuinely
she's a person.
and like yeah
Yeah.
excited about all this stuff.
Yep. It's
So
infectious. You know, she
yeah.
even said in it, like you were saying, she came out right away as soon as the strike was over. And she was like, "I understand, you know, people have complaints about what's going on in the MCU." She's like, "You gotta let them cook." That's what she said. She's like, "You gotta let them cook. They got you through the Infinity Saga. Let them cook. Maybe it's not working out exactly the way you want it yet, but like, they got ingredients. They know how to make shit. Let them cook." Fucking
We're
loved
chopping
it.
it up. We're making those reductions. We're
Yeah, letting it simmer, like just, you know, you're mincing the meat, whatever, like mincing that Sam Wilson, you
So what
know.
else? What you mean, Sam? What?
That's not a
You're making
racist
gumbo
thing.
over
It's not a
here?
race thing. Anyway, yeah, she's great. I just really I love her energy. Both as a person and as the character of Kamala Khan. Okay, let's move on to well, it used to be Bizarro, but now it's well, it's this. We hope we didn't ice your game, man.
Hope I didn't pace your game, man.
No one my age says those words in that order, Mom.
Not in that order, at least.
I
And
like that.
no, that line really hurts me. What was
Yeah.
that?
No, I just like that. Like people do say like ice and man and game, but not combined. Not like
No,
that.
but that line hurts me because I do feel like I would say that, you know, and then some zoomer would be like, "Bro, what?" And then I'd be like, "Damn it." I've let on that I am much older than you. That's happened yet again. This is a segment.
You're not very skibbity at all.
Oh, no.
You're not a Rizzler?
Oh, I'm not a Rizzler. You know what I don't like about... I don't mind Rizz. Rizzler, though, sounds like Twizzler, which I guess is the point, but I fucking hate Twizzlers, so that makes me irrationally angry. I don't want it.
I will continue to call you that.
Okay. Anyway, this segment is where we talk about something that didn't work the way we were hoping. It just didn't land for us. Again, it can be a particular casting choice or pacing or, you know, direction, whatever. It could be anything. I'll go ahead and go first.
Yeah.
With this one. I don't know. Like, I get what they were trying to do with the planet or whatever that they went to where everyone would sing to talk.
Oh, yeah?
And they had, like, the dancers. I get what they were going for. I like that they took a chance. For me, it was... They should have made it more absurd so that it, like, really stuck out. But to me, they kind of, like, played it a little too safe. And I'm almost wondering if it's because Marvel Studios is like a sub company of Disney, and Disney's like, you know, all about like the musical, like kind of romantic comedy musical, either live action or animated. That whole thing is their thing,
right?
And I wanted them to go further with it to make fun of stuff like that, and it actually came across as more earnest, which is not the direction I would have gone in. I would have gone for like satire, like, oh, this is ridiculous, and when films even do this, it's ridiculous, but we're gonna poke fun at it,
right?
Whereas I just think they kind of went more earnest, which is fine. But that's just not the way I would have gone.
Yeah, I didn't mind that sequence.
Okay, that's fine.
It kind of like it was a part of
If anything, I wanted more. Like I just wanted like a musical number and like animals talking and like just fucking blow it out, you know.
That's the part where they like touched on a little bit of that Thor Ragnarok magic, right? Where they were trying some new shit.
Yeah.
And it just like we really hadn't seen this in the MCU before. Like if it is a send up of like Disney musicals, and that's great. Like fucking lean into that.
Yeah.
Like
you're saying. Lean in more. Yeah. But again, and it's like I didn't hate it. It didn't take me out of the film or anything. I just, when it was kind of over and done, I was like, oh, that's it. I thought we were going to get like, and then this is also just me, you know, reading from the trailer. I thought we were going to get like this really cool, and you know, obviously this wasn't even what it was about at all, but I thought we were going to get like a cool Bollywood kind of sequence.
Oh yeah.
And that's just not what that was, but that's probably more on me than anything. Like that's, I just went into it with that expectation for some reason. What about you? What didn't quite land for you? What is your game?
I wonder, like, I'm going to say the editing. Like, I know this is like the other side. Like, I use it as a positive. Like, it's a short movie. It's actually not that bad. But also, like, you could tell, like, where they cut stuff out or, like, where they had to splice some stuff and then, reshoots and stuff. I think, like, I've already heard from, like, other podcasts and stuff that in that scene specifically, like they cut away to Ms. Marvel and Photon sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's just them. It's because they kind of had to it was a more serious kind of tone to that scene where she was dancing and talking to the prince or whatever.
Right.
So like they cut away for like some levity and they this movie was like really chopped up. You could feel that when it starts. They had to like save what they could. It was a longer movie to begin with, and they had to like cut it down to focus on the chemistry between the three principal leads. And I think that was the right play. But like the Skrull stuff, Jesus Christ, the villain at the beginning, like we kind of start in media res with her, and that's fine. But like you could tell that there's a whole lot more backstory that we didn't really get. Like that wasn't like told. to the good guys. So I don't know, like some stuff was lost and you can tell. So it just looks a little bit rough. Like you can kind of like I don't know, like they're still, they didn't use the right type of armor all or something when they were doing the detailing.
Right, they used the non-leather armor all on the leather seats and it just made a mess out of everything.
No, yeah. So you could I don't know. I kind of want to talk about the whole Skrull situation, because fuck Secret Invasion. And
yeah, man. Also, like when people are bitching about the Marvels, and I know most of these people that are bitching about it literally didn't even see the movie, so whatever. And like, I just fuck you if you have an opinion on a film you haven't seen. Like, God, I hate that. But you know, throw that ire towards Secret Invasion. Which is ultimately a show that did not matter.
Yeah.
Like, at all. Like, if it was going to matter at all, it would have been here. And it's like it didn't even happen.
They got Tessa Thompson in for, like, 5 seconds.
That was fucking weird. Talk about weird edits.
Yeah, like King Valkyrie shows up with a Bifrost out of nowhere.
Also, like, if that's the case, then why didn't they just fucking do that for the Skrulls on Earth?
Yeah.
Like, it creates... Now you're creating problems that you don't need, Marvel. Yeah. I have one other really, really, really big Icer Game Man thing. I'm going to mention it here, but it's actually going to... I'm already sort of telegraphing this. This is actually going to be my answer for Hey Everyone.
Uh-huh.
It's gonna be. We're gonna have a very rare negative. Hey everyone, which doesn't usually happen. And I'll just say this: I'm telegraphing it a little bit, but we have not talked about one character in this movie so far that is arguably the antagonist of the film, and that's gonna be in my Hey Everyone. But was there anything else you wanted to talk about in terms of just not waiting before we move on?
Not really. Like, that's not really a problem of the editing. Like, they do kind of stop a fight scene to kind of talk it out, which is kind of, I was like, okay, this is the part that everybody's going to latch on to, like, and point out that this is a big problem. But no, I mean, I think that what they had to do, like, to make it a successful movie, the portrayals of the three main principles, that worked really well. I think that chemistry was like the most important thing in this story. And if they had to chop it up like this to make sure that that got saved, then I think that's all right.
Right.
So it's a flawed movie, but it's not a bad movie.
Right. And that's an important distinction to make, right? Like, just because a movie is flawed, which most movies are, just even really, really good ones, or don't nail everything, you know. It's flawed, but it's not bad. And I think you're right. I think if they did have to make that choice, and that was the choice that they made, you know, in terms of what they were cutting, because I think I remember reading somewhere that they cut between 30 and 45 minutes out of this film, which is that's a lot. You know, that's a lot of a film that's only an hour and 45, so.
Ooh, that's a lot of money, yeah.
Yeah, man, and that's just money on the floor. Like, that's just money you burned. So it's kind of wild. I can't wait to see the extra features. Hopefully we get a lot of the deleted scenes and stuff.
Right.
On this one. But let's go ahead and jump into the Everyone, because I really do want to talk about what I've been hinting at. So let's do Everyone.
Hey.
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 Hey, everyone.
Hey, Peter. Hey, Miles. Is Miles there?
Miles and Aaron, his uncle.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, Peter's there too, right?
But you gotta do it like the right way, though. The line read is, "Hey, Peter Parker,
got something for me? Got something for me, Peter?
You might.
Man, thwip thwip, baby. Okay, everyone is the segment. Everyone is the segment where we talk about something that is new that is introduced to. Well, for this being a Marvel movie, the MCU. So it can be a character, can be a setting, can be a, like a vehicle, can be a form of Deus Ex Machina, whatever you want. Whatever you want. Where the fuck is that celestial? It's still stuck in the earth that no one talks about. Okay, I'm going to go first. Yeah, it's Zoe Aston. So this is actually Tom Hiddleston's, I believe his girlfriend? It's his partner.
Mm.
She played Darben, right? Darben. The Kree adjudicator. Like, she's basically the new Ronin.
Mm-hmm.
But holy... Yeah, holy hell, man. Look, I've never seen Zoe Ashton in anything else, so I don't know what she's capable of.
Mm.
I won't say that like her acting was necessarily bad or anything. It wasn't amazing. It didn't really stand out for me. But more so than that, we've seen this villain, and we've seen this villain done so much better.
Yeah.
In so many other movies. superhero films, sci-fi films, westerns, just fucking any genre of film. You've seen this antagonist done better than what we got here. We got the most, like, paint-by-numbers antagonist in this film, which, like, I get it, like you were saying, you know, the whole film hinges on the chemistry of the three principal actors. And it's very obvious that that's what they're putting all their energy into. But even when that's your end goal, really dismissing the antagonist of the film to like D or F level status in the film is a questionable choice to me.
Yeah, it was a rough look. I didn't even catch her name until like about maybe 30 minutes left of the film.
Yep. I don't think they say it until 30 minutes, you know, like till way later.
Yeah.
It's wild. And the fact that you're like retreading the Ronan the Accuser character already, that's problematic. Like that right there is already like a uh-oh. And then when you put zero effort into doing that, it's like a super uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is really funny because all of the critical response I've seen to this film, literally nobody has mentioned that. And to me, it's the most glaring thing. It's the thing that you can actually legitimately bitch about in this film and be completely correct and be like, wow, they really didn't do a good job with this part of it. And yet that's somehow not what anyone is talking about.
I mean, that kind of speaks to her forgettability.
Yeah, maybe. So forgettable you can't even be mad at it is a problem.
Yeah.
What about you, man? What's your... Again, it's very rare that we have a negative everyone, but yeah, what's yours?
Huh. So, new things were added. I mean, Saber, we kind of already seen Saber at work. I guess Flerken reproduction?
I was just thinking the same thing. I was like, are you going to talk about the Flerkens?
Yeah. Shout out to Kamal Khan's mom for noticing, like, hey, that cat's looking a little pudgy. What are you feeding it? And like, something had a really weird kind of like C plot or B plot is like the Trouble with Tribbles kind of
egg showing Star up. Trek. Yep.
and like I knew exactly what they were. Like the first time, I was like, oh, Goose is pregnant, and this is how this they're good. Like, because I know there's a shot of all these cats running downstairs from the trailer.
Right.
So, like, there's got to be more Flerken somehow. And yeah, I like that. It was so fucking hilarious to see like all the Saber personnel running scared from the Flerkens, and the voice of the PA saying, no, let them eat you. You're all right.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that's comedic genius right there.
Yeah.
Honestly, like that is right up there with any scene from Three Amigos or Coming to America. Like it's such an authentically funny and hilarious both auditory and visual gag.
Yeah.
And just seeing everyone running and screaming. Like, Really good. Really great stuff. Was not expecting that. Like, I don't know whose idea that was, but just hats off to them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, yeah. So again, lots of things to like in the film. I agree with you. I don't fall on the side of this being a bad movie. It's not. It's flawed, but it's not bad. And it definitely doesn't deserve to be the lowest grossing MCU film.
I mean, shout out to Goose, by the way. Like, when Captain Marvel was, like, going down to that one planet, just, like, free falling through the atmosphere or whatever, and Goose was on her shoulder, like, I just, like, oh, that's a really cool image. Just, like, she's, you know, just, you can imagine her doing this, like, hundreds of times before. It's so routine.
Yeah.
And then Goose is, like, just gonna, you know, kind of go do whatever he wants to do. Because it's definitely not a cat. That's not a cat.
Not a cat. that's actually from the comic, too. Like Goose, or I think in the comic his name is Chewy, but
like a nickname for Jesus, Chewy.
I think it was like Chewbacca. Wait, what am I thinking of? I'm thinking of something totally different. No, wait, didn't they really
Chewy? Chewy?
Yeah, Chewy, like Chewbacca.
Okay.
I want to say that Goose's name in the comic is Chewbacca, but maybe they changed it to Goose. Or I could just be making that up. I don't know.
Tell us right now what's going on.
I don't really know.
Oh, no. In the comics, Chewie was Carol Danvers' pet Flerkin.
There you go.
So Chewbacca. Yeah.
Okay. See? I'm not going... I mean, I am going crazy, but not for that. Not for that one. That one is correct. So, one thing... I guess let me circle back real quick to Hey Everyone. And this is a huge spoiler. So, again, if you haven't seen the movie...
Oh, yeah.
Just here's your last chance, because I'm about to spoil something really fucking huge.
Oh, my God.
We get to see none other than Sir Kelsey Grammer.
Sir?
Yeah, I'm just throwing that in there. I don't think he earned it. I'm giving it to him.
I don't think he's capable of it.
Sir Kelsey Grammer as Mr. Hank... Professor Marvel Hank McCoy of the X-Men. He's in his trench coat. He's got his glasses. He looks straight up from the fucking cartoon. Man, how awesome. I mean, I don't even know what they're doing anymore. Like, it's just so... Everything's such a fucking mess at this point. But I just was like, yay! Oh my God, there he is. How fun. Look at him go. Look at how blue he is. Oh, her mom is there. I don't care about this part, but all right.
That's the part where, like, she got to really act as Monica Rambeau. Like, I forget what her actress's name is. But, like, she was, like, genuinely acting. Like, if she had seen her mom who had died. Like that was a really good moment.
Teyonah Parris?
Yeah. Teyonah. She was, like... She was bringing it.
And No. She was really good in that. Her best acting was in that post-credits scene.
Yeah.
I just was joking that it wasn't important because I was just like, Beast.
Yeah.
X-Men are here. X-Men. Because of the giant nerd. But that's for Hey Everyone. There you go. I mean, there's like the positive one. Super exciting. But like I say it's super exciting... But, like, another legitimate complaint of phase, 4 or 5, is that we have all these, like, post-credits things that don't really go anywhere. That they're not really tying into stuff like they used to. So, it's exciting that Kelsey Grammer Beast is there. And then for those that don't know, he was Beast in, like, the old-school Fox X-Men. Yeah.
The Bryan Singer ones?
The Bryan Singer, like, 2000, 2006, like, X-Men Last Stand, X-Men United, like, that's that time. That's...
X2.
The early 2000s, yeah. So...
X-Furious.
It's not even clear if, like, he's from that specific universe, or maybe he's supposed to be from the animated universe, but it's live action... Or yeah, who the hell knows, really, at this point? I don't even know if they know, to be honest.
Right.
You know, but yeah, okay. Well, we've touched on a lot of stuff, but I think this film, more than most, has a lot for the last segment. So let's go ahead and jump on into What If.
What? No, stop.
Renner's ready, man. You got to keep a leash on him, man. He will chomp. That dog will bite. But What If is a segment where we just ask the question, what if? You know, and in relation to the Marvels, I think there's so much you could talk about.
Yeah.
What if it came out in a non-COVID Earth? You know, where people just still went to movie theaters all the time because they liked it. And everything wasn't on streaming in a month. What if, you know, what if Secret Invasion actually led into this in a satisfying way that got people excited about it? You know, what if they had done a fun, and this is what I would do. And actually, this is a much larger conversation, but I've been thinking about this idea. First of all, TM. Okay. TM trademark. Yeah. But I think I figured out how to solve a lot of Marvel Studios problems.
Here we go. Settle in, True Believers.
We're going to talk about this more when we talk about Deadpool coming out next year. But as you all can tell, I've given this a lot of thought. A lot, like probably too much. For not being paid for any of this. And it's that Marvel should adopt a different release schedule. What I would like for them to do, what I would think would be really great, is if they started positioning things like this. A Marvel special presentation in the early part of the year. So we're talking somewhere between January and March. First quarter. Gets things started. Gets people into the mode of Marvel and superhero. Every year. Some can be a 1 hour special, a 30 minute special, even an hour and a half, but like a special that comes on Disney Plus. Okay. The summer, you have the big blockbuster Marvel film. And then in the holiday season, so sometime between October and the end of the year, you do another Marvel special that's generally themed to a holiday in that part of the year.
Okay.
And this does a couple of things. It conditions people to know when things are coming out. It gets them on the ride of a Marvel thing. It gets them on the roller coaster in the first part of the year. The big movies in the summer where everyone has time to see it. And then we're reminded, oh yeah, Marvel's still a thing. Families together. You want to stream a thing for Thanksgiving, for Halloween, for Christmas. Everyone's together. Here's a new Marvel thing for you. Mm-hmm. And much like A Christmas Story is so associated with Christmas and being on TNT and TBS, people will start to get the idea, oh yeah, it's the holiday time. When's that new Marvel thing coming out? Right?
Yeah.
Right? Condition people to like a schedule, like a very large, vague schedule, but that kind of works within a calendar year. Also gives you plenty of time to do visual effects in post-production because you're only doing three projects, one big film, and then two smaller projects a year. And what they could have done, so let's just pretend Secret Invasion. So what if Secret Invasion didn't exist? Just fucking pretend it never happened.
And instead,
prior to the Marvels coming out, we have a Kamala Khan Miss Marvel special, Halloween theme special. Where it's her and her family and maybe her wanting to go to a Halloween party, maybe with Bruno or whoever. But like some shit ends up happening and she has to go superhero some stuff. And it like causes conflict and whatever. But it's just like a fun little like, here's Kamala Khan. And then that leads in to the Marvels. I think that would have been a better stepping stone to this film. Now, granted, if you still had the Marvels coming out after, that doesn't fit my little, you know, one movie, two projects timeline. But this would have been the beginning of that. So, like, you know, they could have still done the Kamala Khan sort of special going into the Marvels for this year, and then next year started it proper with, like, a special presentation filmed during the summer, special presentation at the end of the year. That's just my pitch. I'm just so, like, retroactively super mad about Secret Invasion. that it bothers me. It really does. But what is your what if?
Oh, my what if is kind of simple. It's, she got it, like, Danvers got a really cool nickname, I thought, at least.
The Annihilator.
Yeah. What if the cold open was just Captain Marvel losing her shit and just I want to see all the destruction, like, more than, like, mm-hmm. the minute clip that we got. Like, I want to see her taking her frustrations out on all of Xandar. Or what was it? Is that the Kree homeworld?
No, it wasn't Xandar, but it was
Hala.
If you hear me.
But, yeah, exactly.
Okay, let me. Can I build off of what you just said?
Please. Yeah.
Because let's fucking fix this movie right now. Because I got it. Based off what you said, I
7-8 minutes of her fucking shit up.
Here we go. TM. Yeah. 10-15 minutes. No dialogue from her.
Mm-hmm.
Make it like a fucking horror film.
Yeah.
She's tearing through it. She's fucking destroying everything. The sun is fading. People are scared and crying and running. Right? Make it literally terrifying. And then boom, next scene is Kamala Khan in her bedroom idolizing Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
There it is. The juxtaposition of those two things sets this movie on a trajectory that is so enticing.
Yeah.
And then you just play with Kamala's perception, her idolizing perception of Captain Marvel versus who Captain Marvel really is, and Captain Marvel determining for herself who she really is.
Yeah.
There you go. There it is. There it is.
Yeah, it's.
I'm telling you, that movie makes over $100 million domestic.
It gives a little more grounding to, like, why Carol never wanted to go back to Earth. Like, she didn't feel like she was changed and she needed to do something different. So, like, she thought maybe she needed to do more good things in the universe than to make up for it. I mean, that gives a lot of more, I guess, weight to the character development that happens. And that whole thing where, like, Kamala's like, we need to save them. And Danvers is like, get in here.
We save who we can.
And then they kind of just, like, wave that off with, like, sorry about that. And it's like, it's okay. There could have been a little bit more room for, like, a lot of crunchy kind of character development.
A lot of the push and pull.
Yeah.
And now that reframes the moment based on what we would have seen as the audience if we had the introduction that you and I just pitched right now. Mm-hmm. Now, looking through Kamala's eyes, you see her, like stop and think for a second, like, oh crap, who is this person that I idolize? Are they not who I think they are? Or is there a disconnect there, you know? And it just propels their stories. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, there it is. I mean, TM, just hire us already. Yeah. Like,
it's not hard, guys.
We're ready. We're waiting. We could do it. For everyone. You know.
For all of us?
For all of us. For everyone that wants just good superhero films. Not to say that we also won't make mistakes, but, I mean, we can make some stuff better, I think. I really do think that. All right, man. With that being said, any final thoughts on the Marvels? I will say this. It doesn't deserve the fucking criticism it's getting. It doesn't deserve to be performing this poorly.
It feels like a Phase 2 film. And, man, looking back, those are all right. The Phase 2 films were not bad. It's, I guess, kind of like a... It's coming at a weird moment. Like, it's a middling kind of success of a movie. But that's not bad in the current MCU landscape.
Right. I think if you adjust projections for how films are actually performing and not against their budgets, this movie looks way better.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, again, Hollywood, and I think it's going to be at least another year of this bullshit. Hopefully not more than that. But they have not gotten wise to the fact that you can't just be throwing out $250+ million on these budgets anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just can't. You can't do it. You can't do it. You're asking too much of the current movie going audience to make it a success. So, yeah, that's kind of my final thought. If you haven't seen it and you heard all of this and you kind of thinking if you're maybe going to see it, you should see it. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. I've only seen it once, and I actually kind of want to go see it again. So hopefully I can find some time before it goes to fucking streaming to see it. And all right, well, let's go ahead and move off of the Marvels review and hit up. What a perfect time to take a step back, to sit back and relax after all that fervor and fury of getting all upset about fucking Secret Invasion and stuff. And let's pop down to our favorite stop on this journey. I'm, of course, talking about the Casting Corner.
Ooh, baby. Are you a Super Skrull? Because it looks like you have the DNA of everybody in the MCU.
Whoa. It's not where you think. I also just read what you fucking put on the Slack.
What happened?
Ridiculous.
What are you blaming on me now?
No, I'm not even going to read it. You know what you did. But this is huge news. And I, you know, I want to give this the proper amount of time. This episode's already going so long because of my my giant rant at the beginning of this thing. But we are where we are, you know. Super huge news, though. Strong rumor. Some have already said that he's put his pen to paper. But Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards. Let me tell you, I'm not that excited about it.
Ooh, really?
Probably not what you were expecting to hear. Yeah, guy's great. I got no problem with him. I think just him as a person, as a dude, great. Love him.
Mm.
Saw him on Hot Ones or whatever. Like, keep it. Keep it going. More of him. It's fine. Totally love it. Last of Us, Mandalorian, sure. Whatever. I don't see him being Reed Richards. And, okay.
Wow.
I'm about to say something.
Eat your own people.
I'm about to get canceled. Okay. And if you want your canceled, hashtag canceled Alfred shirts, go hit up TeePublic / comic book characters.
Wait. You can't make money off your own cancellation.
I mean, we can.
You just made the list.
Reed Richards is supposed to be the most intelligent person on Earth.
Where is this going?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
It's already so bad. Where is this going?
Yeah. I'm going to say is based on the characters that he plays in The Mandalorian, that he plays in Last of Us, he, to me, seems better suited to play maybe an everyman, somebody who has struggled with the ghosts of their past kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who is like a survivor. Somebody who is quick on their feet, but not necessarily the smartest person in the room, let alone the smartest person on the planet.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying Pedro Pascal cannot accurately portray somebody who would be the smartest person on the planet.
You're aware that Oscar Isaac is already Moon Knight.
Right.
Okay. Where's this going?
I'm just saying, I don't know if I buy Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards.
Okay.
It doesn't quite fit for me. Now, I will add this one little bit, and maybe this will change my mind. Because I just found out about this literally, I think, either earlier today or yesterday. Which is this, the rumor that I've been seeing floating around. Haven't really gotten a concrete source on it yet, so I didn't want to really report it here. But what's kind of been scuttlebutted around is that the film of the Fantastic Four is going to mostly center on Sue Storm as the central character.
Mm-hmm.
And that she has an estranged relationship with Reed Richards. Due to him being too involved with his work or whatever and has been neglectful and or abusive. That's the rumor I'm hearing. Of that's the story that they want to tell. I don't know if that's even a good idea or not. I'm not going to comment on whether that's where I would take the Fantastic Four. I haven't really thought about it. But if that's how they're going to do it, okay. Maybe I could see Pedro Pascal playing that kind of Reed Richards. But I don't know. It's just, you know, when I heard Matt Smith was up for it, I was like, okay, yeah, I can totally see that. Jake Gyllenhaal was offered the role, but asked for more money, and then they were like, sorry, can't do it. I don't want Jake Gyllenhaal's Reed Richards either. I don't think I could see him playing Reed Richards. But what do you think about this casting? I mean, because from what I've heard, it's pretty much almost a done deal. The other problem, okay, real quick before you answer, the other problem I'm having is that he's too big of a name. I want Marvel to go back to, like, casting people to just be these characters. Tom Hiddleston, Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth. You know, these were not household names when they got cast as Loki, Captain America, and Thor. Chris Evans made $200,000 on Captain America.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Tom Holland. Nobody fucking knew who he was. And he's Peter fucking Parker. let these actors grow into these roles. When you get these really high profile actors to play these high profile superhero characters, there's a disconnect there that you cannot get rid of.
No, that's fair enough. Yeah.
So that's all I have to say about Pedro Pascal. What do you got? What do you got for me? What are your thoughts?
I'm just like, truly be your own people. Wow. Like,
yeah, okay. Hey, I said the shirts are on there. TeePublic.
I mean,
TeePublic characters.
I might have to get me two.
There's some sweet Wemby shirts. There's a Sohan shirt on there.
So can we, is it say fucking trade Sohan right now?
No, like, man, that's my son. Don't trade my son.
Get him out of here. What is he doing? You saw that baseline drive he did, then he tried to pass out to the three-point line?
Oh, my God, yeah,
he got immediately intercepted because of fucking course?
Yeah, or when they put him in the game and then he immediately turned over the ball at half court. Yeah, it's hard, dude. It's like, I can do like 5 hours on the Spurs. Let's
speaking of San Antonio, like, you're haranguing a San Antonio boy?
I know. I said where the shirts are. Okay.
Eat your own people.
What are your thoughts? You just can't agree with me? Is that the bit here? Are you going to be like, no, you're absolutely right?
No, you're 100% right about like the too big a name type of thing. Uh-huh. I don't know if Marvel can like do that though, like anymore. Like, can they take like an unknown?
I think if they fucking had the balls, they could.
Yeah, I don't think they do though.
I don't think they do either. I think the mouse is breathing too hard on Kevin's neck, and it's freaking him out. Yeah,
it's all about guaranteed returns now, and like you're gonna go see Internet Daddy.
Yeah.
So I mean,
yeah, Zaddy Boy, Pedro Pascal, of course. But like, you know, if I'm Kevin Feige, like this is how I fucking play it. This is how he chesses out of this.
Uh-huh.
you look at the failure, quote unquote, of the Marvels, and then you go, let me fucking cook. You guys keep making me pick all these like high profile people and stuff. Let me do what I do when we were winning. And if it doesn't work, then you can tell me what to do. But until then, stay off my fucking neck.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. Like, that's what made it like a viable project to begin with. I think I was kind of hyped for the Adam Driver rumors about him being cast.
I'd be okay with that too. I could see, again, that more than Pedro Pascal. But
because I think Adam would have brought like the intensity, like a Reed Richards or a
The like, more.
Yeah.
More.
I think like that kind of dark type of side to Pedro, like he could do that easily.
Like, that's true. The unhinged, so, like the
especially if it's gonna be like a fractured first family of comics like that you're talking about.
Yeah, well, and that when I read that, that did bring me back around to this a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It's not black and white, you know, like it's fluid. And again, I love Pedro Pascal. Like, he's great. That movie he did with Nicolas Cage, The Unbearable Weight of Talent or whatever it was called. It's so fun. Again, just like the Marvels, just a fun, goofy fucking movie. And he's played so unhinged in that film. It's delightful. I don't know. There's just something about, I'm having trouble seeing it, but that doesn't mean it couldn't work. You know, famously, everyone fucking hated the casting of Heath Ledger as the Joker. And then it was the greatest, like, supervillain portrayal we've ever seen. Like,
performance, yeah.
Like, what do you want? That's, you know,
I'm just saying, I'm happy that we have another member of La Raza up here in the list.
Okay.
Some of us aren't, though.
All right, maybe you and Pedro can go watch Blood In, Blood Out and, you know, get back to me later.
Shots fired! Shots fired!
No, he's great. He's great. I don't know. You know, it could absolutely work. It can absolutely work. I just don't know if that's the choice I would have made. More so than anything, because I want them to get away from these big name actors.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I mean...
And here's a good example of that. Uh-oh. Here's what James Gunn is doing over at DC Studios.
This guy.
Superman Legacy is adding Skylar Gazondo as Jimmy Olsen and Sarah Sampaio as Eve Teschmacher. Am I saying that right? Teschmacher?
I didn't change that name at all.
No, it's fine, but it's like, is it Teschmacher?
It looks like Teschmacher. I'm not too sure because
I'm going to go with Teschmacher. I think that is. But
it's
but
making more John Teshes. NBA?
He did the song.
On NBA? Oh, shit. That's right.
He did the song. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so you might be asking listeners, who the fuck is Skylar Gazondo and Sarah Sampaio? Fair question. Totally fair question. But that's my point. They aren't anyone. So they can be Jimmy Olsen and Eve Teschmacher, whoever that is. By the way, that's apparently going to be the love interest of Lex Luthor / an assistant.
Is he going to be feeding her like all sorts of candies?
Yeah. Skylar Gazondo is from Licorice Pizza. That's the only thing I know him from. And Sarah Sampaio is a Victoria's Secret model who's been in a few Portuguese films.
Oh, right. Let's go.
Hey, man, it's the casting corner for a reason. Although not the casting couch. That's another thing. This is the casting corner. Don't start. Other fun Superman Legacy news, and I think this is okay. I think with, like, the villains, if you want to go big name, because that's what Marvel used to do at the beginning, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, get the big name for the villain. Nicholas Holt, who was actually auditioning to play Clark Kent. I think he would have been really good in it. If you've seen Renfield, I think He would have been so good. But he's going to be Lex Luthor. And if you've seen, and I believe you have, because I think we talked about it, The Menu.
Oh, yeah.
Nicholas Hoult is so good at playing a sociopath. Like a straight up does not even realize it because he's such a fucking sociopath. That's Lex Luthor, my friends. Excellent, excellent job. Like, I think that casting is pitch perfect. What do you got?
It's really good. Last time he was bald, though. He was a war boy. Being waited in Valhalla, shiny and chrome.
Shiny and chrome, man.
I can't wait to witness him being bald again. God damn it, better.
Yeah, he'll be bald. He'll be bald. You know what would be cool? They won't do it. James Gunn, you don't have the fucking balls to do this.
You calling him out?
I mean, I wish you could see me winking right now.
Shot fire!
You start off with Luther, full head of hair.
Oh.
But as he starts to unravel from the frustrations of trying to be the pinnacle of a human, of what a human can be, and to see this alien Superman come out of nowhere and usurp him and supplant him in every imaginable way. And look, I don't even know what the story is, but what if Sarah Sampaio is Eve Teschmacher? What if she did have affinity and love for Lex, but then she sees Superman and then she becomes enamored with Superman? Lex Luthor literally starts ripping the hair out of his own head.
Fucking hell, it's dark.
Show the blood, James Gunn, you dickless wonder.
Holy shit, dude.
I'm just kidding. I love James Gunn, but I'm trying to egg him on, man. I'm trying to get it.
No, man.
I'm trying to make it happen. I wish you could. I was like winking. You can't see me. I'm just trying to goad him into it so that he'll do it.
This will be my new nickname coming in. I'm Chris, Dickless Water Casa.
Because I think that would be really cool. And a very plausible way to kind of twist the knife even further for Lex. But yeah, really happy with Nicholas. Again, bringing back Beast. Nicholas Hoult was Beast in the X-Men First Class.
Hey, look at that. Another series. Evans list.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, man. Any other thoughts on the casting corner crew there?
I want to see like what happens like in American Beauty, where Lex Luthor, actually wants Superman is a kiss.
Okay. But
this time he's going to feed him a Twizzler, kind of like Lady and the Tramp style.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is how you become a Rizzler is what he
says. Oh my God.
Mouth. And
yeah. And he finger touches Clark's or yep. Superman's chin.
Yep, because that's apparently what Lex Luthor does.
Oh, God. You know what? I hate you so much right now because this is a true story. I just bought, like, I'm not even joking. I just bought, like, a 3-pound bag of Jolly Ranchers.
Yes.
And I was really enjoying them this week until you reminded me of that stupid Jolly Ranchers scene from Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. And now I probably can't eat the rest of my Jolly Ranchers in peace. So fuck you.
I have to have Jesse Eisenberg come and feed them to you, baby.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's making my stomach hurt.
With insane eye contact.
Oh, too much. Too much. I don't know why, but I feel like Jesse Eisenberg's fingers feel kind of sticky.
All right. I mean, he is handling Jolly Ranchers. Might be well.
No, but just like anyway, like a little just clammy, like, oh, a little sticky.
Like he's a child.
Like he's a child, yeah. All right. Let's move on because we have so much more to cover somehow.
God damn, man. Who wrote the slack for this? Martin fucking Scorsese?
Oh, man. Flowers of the Moon. Flowers of the Moon. All right.
I'm actually unabashedly waiting for that to come to streaming because I'm not spending 3 fucking goddamn hours of my life in a theater.
See, I really want to see it, but I want to be able to have free will of my fucking like bowels, you know? Like, I don't want to be stuck in that because I know I'm going to miss something important and like some historical fact that's going to be really integral to the story, and it's just like, and then I'm gonna have to see it again, which is probably a good movie, but it's like working for a dream where you don't really want to see it over and over. All right, we're not gonna spend a lot of time on this just because we're running long, but Vanity Fair, I literally have the issue right here. It's actually right next to me. I can grab it. Can y'all hear that?
Was it ASMR now? What are you?
Variety is Marvel in trouble. Disney's biggest hitmaker will need to flex its muscles to overcome superhero fatigue, and the Marvels won't be the answer. We kind of already touched on all this. Vanity Fair, granted, it's weird because I was always under the impression that Vanity Fair and Disney had a pretty copacetic relationship. It's no secret, or at least it shouldn't be, that a lot of trades and publications work with studios to like help promote projects and stuff. In the past, Entertainment Weekly was a very strong ally to Disney, for instance. It's just how the sausage gets made. It's how they do things. So to see an article like this that more or less amounts to like kind of a hit piece on Marvel, like kicking them while they're down, without really examining the long term and like structural problems with how the movie industry is going in general, like with again Sony and Warner Brothers and Paramount and everybody, they're just focusing on Marvel, but it's not in a vacuum. All of these problems, mostly except for the superhero fatigue part, they extend to everything. So we kind of already talked about that. That being said, they do bring up the superhero fatigue thing. And I will say this. We talked about this a very, very long time ago. About will we ever hit a moment. I think this when we were talking about Infinity War or Endgame. We brought up the concept of like, will there ever be a moment where there's superhero fatigue? And I remember saying that as long as they differentiate within the genre of superhero films into different types of superhero films, that superhero fatigue could be, if not avoided altogether, at least delayed, right? So you make like a horror superhero film, you make a thriller, like you can make a seductive thriller superhero film if you want. You can do a comedy, you can do family, you can do whatever, sci-fi adventure, whatever. But where you do run into a problem is if you start making everything to kind of look like everything else that's coming out, and I'm looking at you, the Marvels, Blue Beetle, Ant-Man 3, what else am I missing? I'm sure Aquaman 2 will be also kind of like this, but worse. When everything starts to kind of look the same, then yes, absolutely. And if it's not done well, so now you're talking bad to mediocre, and everything's kind of pitching the same, yeah, you're going to hit superhero fatigue really, really quickly. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's the word content has become so like twisted, and like it's the parlance now of like just people who are streaming constantly on YouTube or Twitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, these things which are like have been like you know, this is what the industry kind of fueled on nostalgia a little bit because everybody remembers superheroes from their childhood. But and then seeing it like represented on the big in a movie is like just we never thought we always kind of keep going back to that. We never thought it could get this good for this long. And it's just now it feels like they're just generating content. They're not like they're not really kind of tending to these characters that are kind of beloved.
Right. They're just throwing it out there.
Just have to make the new sticks. They have a release date. They have to meet this, you know, money goal or whatever. And that part feels dirty. It feels like unclean.
It feels so inauthentic for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So if there's ways to mitigate it, which is like just make better things. But that's, right. I guess, so hard to do when you're so business oriented as you have to be to make. I think like
it's a balance and a dance for sure.
Yeah. One of the things that came from that Vanity Fair piece was that the Blade budget was already at like 200 million plus.
Yeah.
And that's like, for fucking what? The guy like slashes fools with a sword.
Yeah. What did we talk about earlier? You can't do that anymore. You can't just keep throwing $200-300 million dollars at a film. Like,
yeah, it's that they thought that Ant-Man Quantumania was going to be like a fucking huge hit. Like that was fucking, they've lost kind of like a little bit of their,
like, program. In hindsight, the fact that that movie almost made half a billion is kind of fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, the Marvels and Quantumania definitely need to be switched.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I liked MODOK. You know, again, I liked goofy-ass MODOK. But, like, yeah, absolutely. In terms of what they've earned, revert, like, switch them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know. So some things are kind of, like, they are reporting the obvious, and some things are like, well, that's kind of concerning. That they were, like, abandoning about, like, oh, maybe we can just introduce Dr. Doom? It's like, God damn it, they're going to... Like, right. Just bring out Galactus at that point. What the fuck?
Yeah. See, and that's the thing I'm also worried about with the Kang and the Jonathan Majors thing and all of that. Is that, and we're going to talk about Loki too in just a second. But, you know, if they start rushing stuff along, all they're going to do, and I don't understand how they don't already know this, they should fucking know this because it's literal recent history. Going back to Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. What did Warner Brothers do wrong? They grabbed like three different of their best storylines from comics conceptually. They mishmashed them all together into one movie and tried to bring their two biggest heroes in a film without earning any of it or building up any of it. And it fucking blew up in their faces. So guess what happens, Marvel? Guess what happens, Kevin? At all, guess what happens if you try to just crunch Dr. Doom into this thing to quote unquote fix it? It's going to be the same exact problem. I really strongly believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's probably not going to be any hidden missiles, are there?
I mean, if there are any missiles, they're going to be so obvious and apparent.
Blatant missiles.
Obvious missiles. Oh, look, another missile. All right. Okay. Well, see, there you go. I started to get all crotchety again with how I'm feeling about all this. Let's jump. Man. We still have two more things to hit before we even get to C block. That's wild.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go quick. Loki 2. Loki season 2. Man, just what a. I don't know that Marvel shows on Disney Plus, like the streaming shows, I don't know if that was ever a good idea.
Yeah. Looking back on it, right? Yeah.
Like, maybe don't ever do that. Maybe that's why Kevin's stretched too thin, and maybe that's part of the problem.
That's the content mill.
Right. Also, now you're having content mill. Like, you're sacrificing cohesive story just to pump out stuff. All that being said, I mean, I don't know how you feel. We have not talked about this off air. Wow. Like, to be able to show the journey of this character of Loki from Thor 1 all the way 13, 14 years later to where we end on Loki 2 season 2. My goodness, is that the best character arc of any character in the MCU?
It's up there. Yeah, it really shaped out to be that way. I was kind of getting worried there in the middle of Loki season 2. Because I thought that maybe we're spinning our wheels a little bit.
Did feel that way a little bit, yeah.
it was going to resolve like the same way Secret Invasion did, like where it didn't matter. But no, hell no. It actually mattered a lot to one character in specific. And I think that's what we need more of. Like seeing that character, that's why we're invested. We're invested in this actor portraying that character.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it's weird on the surface because it's a villain. And but it does make sense. Like, you do have to put in the work to kind of redeem this villain.
Right. And doesn't that give you the opportunity to tell a better story?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking in somewhat vague generalities because, maybe not everyone has finished to see it. It did just wrap up pretty recently. So I'm trying not to spoil too much. But, anytime you play with time, it's difficult. That's such a hard thing to do narratively. Now, granted, they built in time as a concept with He Who Remains in the first season. By the way, and again, we are going to see, I think the trial finally is going to start kicking off next week for Jonathan Majors.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, innocent until proven guilty. It really does feel so far from what I've seen, what I've read, that this is much ado about nothing for the most part. That he's not guilty of the assault or any of the other charges that his former partner have levied against him. It seems like a lot of things within her story are, they don't line up and so on. This is just my opinion. It's not comic book characters' opinion. It's not your opinion. This is my opinion. This is Alfred speaking. This is my opinion. That being said, this could all come out differently once the trial gets going, and at that point I'll address it then if that's the case. I will say this. Jonathan Majors in Loki Season 2 as Victor Timely, and then, again, spoilers if you haven't seen it, again, He Who Remains shows up again. So good. He's so good at playing He Who Remains. It's like this calm confidence. It's very unnerving. And, I hope that the legal troubles go away because I hope that he wouldn't be capable of those things. And I hope that they move forward with Kang and He Who Remains and all of that stuff. I don't want them to just go to Doctor Doom. I will say very, very quickly, I want to give a shout out to the Weekly Planet podcast, Mr. Sunday Movies.
Oh, the GOAT.
The GOAT, Nick and Meso and James. What was that?
GOAT Solo.
GOAT Solo, right. They actually said recently on one of their podcast episodes, this is just a rumor, they call it Hot Scoop or Shot of Poop. And the way they frame it is, we've got this rumor that we're going to tell you about, and it's either a hot scoop, or if it's wrong, one of us has to do a shot of poop. And James always says that it's Mason's job to do that, and then Mason gets upset about it. It's very funny. But the thing that they brought to that segment was that they got somebody who claims to be close to Jonathan Majors and worked on the film Devotion with him or was one person away or something. And this was during the time when he was signing his contract for Marvel, is that due to the nature of Kang and him having variants and all of this, that Jonathan Majors had the foresight to include a clause in his contract that no matter how many variants of Kang there were, he was going to be playing them. So the idea that Marvel could just recast Kang, because, everyone's been saying forever, if he can't do it, or, if he gets, if he's guilty or whatever, they can. It's a Kang, he has variants. He could just find another one that doesn't look like him. Well, not if that clause is in his contract.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big problem, and if that's the case and he ends up being guilty, then what they're going to end up doing is, like you said, they're going to move on. They're going to pivot to a Doctor Doom or a Galactus or something else.
Yeah.
Which I actually don't really want to say because they actually have invested a lot of time and energy and effort and you know, production to this character. But I don't know. What do you think? What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on that whole situation? Do you want to see Kane continue, or are you kind of done with it?
I can take it or leave, actually. Okay. Like, that's my whole kind of like thing. It's like, well, we've seen so far he's 0-2 against like just one Avenger or just one Loki.
Yeah,
so
that's true. It
doesn't seem like they're that big of a threat to any. I don't know. Maybe all the Kangs together are some sort of something, but Loki does resolve kind of like, oh, you can. It's Marvel's choice right now. They can like either move over with the.
They
Kang.
Really gave themselves an out.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of smart. I don't
it's
know
very
if it's
smart.
Like this happenstance, like a coincidence occurrence, but I think it's kind of like the smartest play they could have made. Yeah, I don't know. It's that's the thing. It's like Thanos is kind of like just a happy accident, right? Like it was an Easter egg or the stinger at the end of Avengers, and then it does get set up just because like it gets traction, and like you can write to this MacGuffin across a couple of different movies of the Infinity Stones, and that's easy. That works, and then thankfully it gets over with the audience. Like, oh, maybe Thanos is right. We've seen the shark too much, to borrow the Jaws parlance. We've seen the shark too much with Kang, I think.
Yeah.
For Kang to be like totally menacing, you know, just an off-screen presence that like, oh yeah, but Kang's gonna fuck shit up.
I mean, you know what they need to do
to
bring it back? They need to have him in a room in a scene where he literally does nothing. You physically see him do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And someone dies.
Yeah.
Like, that'll bring you right back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So shit like that. That would be kind of cool to establish, like, how menacing he is. But right now, he's gotten to work a couple times.
Yeah. Even with the cool, again, spoilers, but, like, when he stops time, right? He literally was like, boop. And he goes, yeah. Oh, you haven't figured that out yet? But then, like you said, Loki... A one Avenger, he's not really an Avenger, but whatever, like one person also is like, no, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
So it kind of takes it away, right? Takes it away a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. So Loki season 2, my goodness, just what a way. If we never see Loki again, I almost hope that we don't, because I just think it is such a tremendous... story, send off for that character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the last line of dialogue, the last image we see, the sacrifice he makes, all of it. It's so good. And it harks back to the glorious purpose line, which everybody knows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's so smart.
Was it Key of Asgard? And I'm burdened with glorious purpose.
Just so good. It's so good. Yeah. If you all think Marvel is incapable of doing anything correct or good, watch Loki season 2. Like they can still do it. They just it's like Tim Duncan in his last like 4 years. Where it's like, you can still do it, you just can't do it every night. You know? And that might be where we are with Marvel, but... Okay. So, alright. I'm going to pull an audible here, because this episode is going too long.
Yes, sir.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to close out the B block. I'm not even going to edit this out, I'm just going to leave it in. We will see C block, other than the big wheel winner... We're going to do separately as its own little thing later this week.
Oh, visit the trailer park. All right.
Yeah, we'll visit the trailer park later this week as its own separate thing. That way we can really give it the time to breathe, because we would have to rush through it at this point, and I don't really want to do that, especially, and don't worry, listeners, especially for that Madam Web trailer. We're going to take an extensive look at that one. for everybody. But let's close out the episode today with talking about something that I actually think is a good thing. And it sort of connects to what I was talking about earlier about what I would do to try to fix the Marvel problem. And that's that Deadpool 3 is going to be the only MCU film coming out in 2024. Next year. That's it. One movie. Now, I think there are maybe some shows or specials that they have planned. So there could definitely be other content for the word of the day. It's like Pee Wee's Playhouse. Content. Right. Man, we just lost every Zoomer listener if there were any on the pod. By the way, Zoomers did not come out from the Marvels, like, at all.
It be your own people.
Like, and that's, you know, look. I'm never going to say that the incels and stuff are right, because they're not. But at the same time...
Wait. Sorry. They're alt-right.
Oh, boy. At the same time, you have to be careful of not catering to just one voice or one demographic, either. You know, unless you're making this cool little indie film or something, or it's a passion project, that's different. But when you're making films, like blockbuster films like the Marvels is supposed to be, maybe try to figure out a way to involve everybody. You know, it's not, again, I want to make this clear. The problems that I have with the Marvels has nothing to do with the female director.
That there's three women.
That there's three principal leads that are women. None of that is a problem. In fact, the Marvels, even though it is underperforming, it's still going to end up being the highest grossing film ever for a black female director in the United States. That's something. Kind of sucks that, like, everyone's talking about it underperforming, but it's weird that it's like it's underperforming, but yet it's still the highest grossing film within that little niche thing that I just said. But, you know, again, my problems with the Marvels, we already talked about what they were. Not the principals, not the director, and nothing to do with gender at all. Deadpool 3 is going to be the only film in 2024. May 3rd, 2024. I mean, everyone's expectations for this movie are insane, and so I'm a little concerned about that. I'm very concerned about it, actually. But what this will definitively do is give Marvel the time to dot the I's and cross the T's to make sure the special effects, the visual effects, are as good as they can be. Make sure all your reshoots, everything you do, just fucking do it well. Take pride in your work and don't be pressured because you have 19 other projects going on. You have one movie coming out next year. Everyone's worried about superhero fatigue? Well, you only do one movie. That helps alleviate some of that pressure.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that people come out for this film, that it is good, that it is superb, that it is excellent. And then maybe, just maybe, Disney and Marvel learn, like, hey, if we scale back, we can still do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hope. What is your hope for Deadpool 3? And the idea that it's the only Marvel film coming out next year.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with it being like just a huge scale back. That'd be great if you could like focus on something, just the one thing, to get right. That, you know, get your footing back, right? What would I really like to see in this one? They go kind of everywhere with Deadpool movies.
Well, we already know Hugh Jackman's going to be in it as Wolverine. That's huge.
Yeah. Cable, is Josh Brolin going to be in
Beckman? Dude, the rumor is that, like, literally anyone and everyone. Everything from Channing Tatum as Gambit. X-23 coming back.
Holy shit.
Original Cyclops and Jean Grey coming in. Both Professor X's.
Goddamn.
Like, the rumor mill is huge on this one.
Man, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm just so psyched to watch it. this is again like the thing where the person portraying a character who they care about is going to have an easier time.
Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool and Mondolani as Kamala Khan. Even Tom Holland as Peter Parker. Like, those are all perfect examples of that. So I would argue Chris Evans as Captain America too. Like,
oh, Hemsworth as Thor. Like
Hemsworth as Thor. Yep.
He loves
Hiddleston as Loki. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just think it's going to be really cool. Fucking hell, seeing Hugh Jackman and as Wolverine again,
and the blue and yellow costume.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I having expectations and like everything is already kind of set up on a pedestal for this movie. I just want to see the meta jokes. I know they're going to be there, but that's always my favorite part about the Deadpool franchise. Just like the breaking the fourth wall kind of deal. The whole McAvoy or Stewart, I can never keep these timelines straight. Is that the first one or is that the second one? I forget now. But it's just gonna be great. I hope I enjoy it a lot. I hope I see it twice.
Yeah. You know what my one wish ask for on this one is?
What's that?
I want one scene, just one scene where Deadpool sees the fucking celestial sticking out of the earth and is like, what the fuck is this? And then they don't mention it again for the rest of the film. That's all I want.
That'd be amazing.
I will buy people movie tickets to that movie if that scene is in there. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, I mean that. That's how bad I want that scene. But yeah, I feel like, you know how we talked about before the Marvels came out, I was like, fuck, you know what's going to happen? The Marvels is actually going to be good, but people are going to be so tuned out because of like how these other superhero films aren't doing well. And they're not really keeping people's attention. I was like, it's not going to do well. And also because of like the women and all that stuff, like there's going to be an inherent base of people that are going to be like, I'm not going to see it no matter what. And I was so worried that that was going to impact the performance of the film. And here we are. And look what happened. It's exactly what I was concerned about. Because I was like, fuck, like it's not even the Marvel's fault. It's just like where it's falling in line with the rest of the movies is like, there was no way for it to do well, really. I think Deadpool 3 has the opposite situation. I think it's perfectly positioned to be so successful. The only Marvel movie for the whole year, rated R, first Disney rated R Marvel film, all the cameo potential, Ryan Reynolds really crushing it as that character, Hugh Jackman coming back as Wolverine, which everyone wants to see. Like, it's just everything is there for it to be so successful. So I really, really hope that they take the correct lesson. I hope it's super successful, and I hope they take the right lessons from it. But we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, man. With that being said, let's close this podcast out. I almost said so many other things right there.
What?
Let's hit up the big wheel winner of the episode.
No. You can pray for love to give you fire.
Oh, man, Renner. Oh, my God. That's the other thing we didn't talk about in the Marvels. I meant to bring it up under Hey, Everyone.
Was Jeremy Renner in it?
No. Young Avengers.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Kamala Khan acting as Nick Fury starting to recruit. Starts with Kate Bishop. Oh, my God. That's all I want. All I want in the world is whatever that's going to be.
Right. Yeah.
I'm so psyched for that. How do we not talk about that? I should be the big wheel winner for not bringing that up earlier because I like wrote it in all caps in my notebook.
You're like another woman. That's what this movie needs.
Ah, man, I love Hailee Steinfeld and Amon Vellani. They're great. Apparently, I think they ad-libbed a lot of that scene, and apparently, there's a ton of stuff on the floor. So hopefully we get some deleted scenes. So good. And apparently she knew the Nick Fury speech by heart prior to even them doing that scene. Because she said she's watched Iron Man like 200 times. And I absolutely don't think she's exaggerating.
Oh, yeah. Built for this.
Yeah. It's like she was built for it. It's perfect. I mean, I know Tom Holland's already kind of been Spider-Man for a really long time, so he might actually be getting out of it. But I had always hoped that Amon Vellani and Tom Holland would kind of usher in the next generation of this stuff. But we might get Amon Vellani for it at least, so... Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see. Anyway, Big Will winner of the week. I don't know. Everyone, COVID again is forever the winner for ruining the way movies work, and no one seems to have figured out that that's what's happening. That bums me out. For people shitting on the Marvels that haven't even seen the film, fuck you. Like, why is this what you're putting your time and energy into? Like, do better, please. Please. At least see the movie if you're going to hate it. Like, at least so you have talking points. Not just that it's a woman director and three female leads. Like,
man, you're really banking on that point. All right.
I'm just saying, I've seen people complain about that. And it's just like, how and why? What do you got? Do you have anything else you want to add as a Big Wheel winner?
For a Big Wheel? Man. Oh, man, that's a really hot Big Wheel. Yeah, Big Wheel Award winner, Mayflower, all them pilgrims.
Oh, for just for starting all of this.
Yeah. We got to pick up the slack. We got to feed y'all. You freeloaders, you bunch of chain immigration types.
Bringing your diseases.
Don't even start me on the blankets, bro.
There's syphilis in those blankets.
Ugh.
Yeah, no, that's true, man. Shout out to the OG villains. OG villains, the fucking pilgrims. Man. That's good. That's really good. Didn't even think about it, but you're absolutely right. With that being said, I do want to thank all the listeners for shaking that badonkadonk, man. You know, just... getting out there, getting on the floor, throwing it low. Shooting up the pod with the Riz.
Oh, no! No, no, no! No!
Disappointed!
Hey, you want to bring the thunder, you're going to hear the lightning. You know what I'm saying? And with that being said, the Fortress of Potitude is closed. We love you all so much. Don't forget to comment and like and share the pod with your friends, your family. Argue, instead of arguing about politics and the pilgrims, argue about Kamala Khan and Captain Marvel this holiday.
Scott Pilgrim. How'd I miss that? Fuck.
Scott Pilgrim. Scott Pilgrims. Yeah, that's good. And with that being said, for all time.
Always.